Jesus' name. Somebody say, one of Jesus' name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Amen. Hey, welcome, welcome tonight to the House of Blessing, to Paris Christian Center, to the House of Healing, to the House of Deliverance, to the House of Visitation by the Lord. Amen? We want to tell you tonight, James, I have a shirt just like that. I love that. In fact, I had it on the other day. Now, mine's a little bit smaller. No, mine's a little bit bigger than yours. But anyhow, we welcome here tonight. We're glad that you're here. We want to bless you as many ways as we can. God wants to bless you also while you're here. I want to tell you that we have a bunch of produce back there. New stuff that you haven't seen. Berries and that sweet corn. There's enough of that for everybody to get some of that. And some fresh lettuce and so many wonderful things. We want you to be sure that before you leave here, that you check it out and take some of it. Take some of it home. Amen? Amen. I'm going to read right now out of the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 10 and 11. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you that the word is living inside of me. I thank you that the word is active and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. I thank you that the word will heal and direct and forgive and help people. In Jesus' name, use me tonight, God, to bring out this part of what you have for tonight. And everyone said, amen. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile, and let him eschew evil. Everybody say, eschew. Reminds me of eschew. Eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. You know, God works differently through people. One of the ways he works through me is sometimes in the last few weeks I've had this this expression, eschew evil, when I would wake up in the morning or I'd be thinking about eschewing evil. And so I just thought I would share with you tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells that this letter was written to Christians. I wanted to make that clear. And if you think I'm preaching to you tonight, you're right. I am. And I'm preaching you a word of life. I'm preaching you a word of direction. I'm preaching you a word of life. Amen. And what could be wrong with that? Eschew. And I thought, let me refocus on what that word means, because in Job chapter 1, the Lord says to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him anywhere. He's the cream of the crop. He's the best that there is. And he's one that eschews evil. Now, that word means the same in both the Hebrew in the Old Testament and in the Greek in the New Testament. And what it means is to stay away from evil. It's kind of like if you're walking down the street and you see evil coming at you, that you would cross the street and go on the other side of the street, that you would avoid evil, that you would prepare your day if you know you're going to be in a certain situation. I knew today that I was going to be in a certain situation and that I was going to have to hold my tongue and hold my peace, because if I let loose, it would cause perhaps arguments, hard feelings. It would cause evil. And I want to be, to strive more of just avoiding evil. And, you know, one way to avoid evil is that a soft answer turns away wrath. It turns away anger. And sometimes it's better not to say anything at all. And another thing is maybe wait for the right time to say something. But we all want to eschew evil, because evil is the invitation to relapse. And this Bible is the number one recovery book on the face of this planet. And all of the best recovery material finds its roots in the Bible, Alcoholics Anonymous, which is one of the first ones in America. It took its roots from the Bible itself. And the older writings, they use the word God and Jesus in them. And, of course, all of the politically correct people that knew so much better, they removed those words with higher power. And there's a joke, I would call it a joke, that your doorknob can be your higher power. I don't recommend that. Your family can be your higher power. There's so many things. I don't recommend that. Your higher power should be God, who can change the doorknob, who can change your family more than you can. You know, in Proverbs chapter 4, I'm going to share this with you. Verse 15 says, avoid evil. Don't even pass by it. Don't even get close to evil. Turn away from evil and keep on moving. Don't just turn away. Keep on moving. You had somewhere that you had to be. Be there. When you get up in the morning, find out where you're supposed to be. Find out what you're supposed to be doing. I'm talking about success. I'm not talking about religious jargon that you can get most anywhere. I'm talking about how to get the most out of your salvation, which is really your recovery from evil, recovery from death. You were born lost. You were born in need of a Savior. It's not a nice thing, well, I just might check into Jesus. No, you better do more than check in with him. You better get saved before you leave this life, or you'll be like Satan, the only one named in the Bible that we know for sure he's going to the lake of fire. There are five prisons, five hells in the Bible. The final resting place for every rebellious, non-compliant devil, spirit, or person is the lake of fire, the inescapable lake of fire. Avoid evil. Keep on going. 1 Peter chapter 1 again. This letter was written to Christians. A close study of the Bible will tell you this, of the New Testament and the Old Testament. It's mostly written to people of faith, people that want to serve God. There's only one message to the lost person, and it goes like this. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And it was there on our cross that the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners, not for himself, was slain. That's the starting place with recovery in any life, any country, in this world. It starts with reckoning with the cross of the Son of God. Now, God says some pretty amazing things in these verses here in Peter. First of all, in this King James, we realize this here. If you love life, if you want to enjoy your life, and it's not talking about heaven, it's talking about right now. Because see, you don't have to have a crummy life because your neighbor has a crummy life. You don't have to be without peace because your neighbor doesn't have peace. You don't need to be without power because your neighbor doesn't have power. You can have a good life, but you must understand and see the difference of what kind of life you can have. And you have to say in your heart, that's what I want myself. I want to be a person of power. See, there are people that are people of power. It says, and it said to them, those of you that are strong ought to support the weak. But see, you don't have to be weak. You don't have to be. You don't have to be busted and disgusted and can't even be trusted. You can have something better than that. You don't have to be sick two or three times a week because your neighbor is sick. I'm 69 years old, and I'm an example of this fact. I'm a studier of this Bible, and if I can get here, I'll be here. My dear friend, Mary Baker, one time she was wanting to call in to, I forgot what job she had, but she had a roll of socks, and she was throwing it up in the air. She didn't want to lie. She just said, I can't come in today because I'm throwing up. Now, look here. Is that what you really want? I want you to ask, I don't want to see a nod of the head or anything. Do you really want to be weak? Do you want to be easily taken off of track? Well, I'm going to say this, and it's going to maybe upset you. People like me will be there to support the weak and help the weak. See, or do you want to be strong? See, because it's a choice. I was a kid without a dad. I was a kid without a lot of things. I was a kid that grew up hungry. I just decided I didn't want that. I just decided I wasn't going to be weak because everybody else was. I wasn't going to be broken down because everybody else was. And I refused many times to say I was weak or I couldn't make it. You know, I thought very carefully about saying I can't make it because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I thought real careful about saying I'm not going to have enough to pay my bills because I said, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. I found I could make that connection. That could happen. I don't have to be sickly. I don't have to be weak. I don't have to be broken down. I don't have to be overcome by terrible, terrible addictions in our life. And we all have addictions that we have to address. Much of the church world is not addressing their addictions, but pointing out the faults and failures of others. And we don't want to be like that. We want to be powerful. We want to live long. We want to live strong. And we don't want to live sick. And we don't want to live broke. The Bible says in the book of Joel, let the weak say, I am strong. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to stand up right now and say with me. You don't have to if you don't want to. If you're happy and you want to be weak or you don't need this, it's not for you, you're better than, that's fine. And I want you to say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm strong. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm strong. Because the Lord said to say, you're strong, son. You're strong, daughter. You're strong. God bless you. Do I sound okay tonight? Nobody's taking this the wrong way, are they? Does this message feel good so far? Okay, let me just finish it then. Now, this writing was to Christians. Do a Google search of your own Bible. How many verses are directed to the lost and how many are directed to the church in both Testaments? And you'll find, man, this thing was written to people that want to do right. And this word and these promises are alive. All they need to do is what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Find his promises. Declare his promises over your health, over your marriage, over your finances, over your mind. Declare it. Believe it. Let the weak say, I am strong and I'm tired of being a chump of the devil. And then just, you know what? When the devil really goes to bothering you, say, devil, I want you to know something. You're the biggest loser right now on planet Earth. Because we know, amen, we know you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. You're the only one that's named. He's already lost. While Jesus was on this planet, he said, the God of this world, with a small g, has already been judged. See, he's going down. Let me tell you something about the devil that I think will help you. God knows right where the devil is. He's not hiding anywhere. God knows right where he is. And at the right time, if you read in the book of Revelation, a big old angel will just go get him and drag him by the scuff of his neck and throw him into a pit. Also, angels would just take him and throw him into the lake of fire, and he has no power to resist the power of God. And the only power the devil has over you or myself is the power of deception. He can talk us into doing some terrible things. And then when we do them, he'll condemn us and make us feel bad about ourselves. God will never try to talk you into doing anything bad. And you know, when you do, he won't condemn you because he loves you. The word says in the Old Testament, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I don't get any pleasure out of that because I created all mankind. I created mankind. I love mankind. I love them so much that whosoever believes in Jesus Christ will never perish, but will receive eternal life. And the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. If you're living and you can hear me, God is trying to save you. If you're saved, he's trying to perfect that salvation seed that he put inside of you. If you look at 1 John chapter 3, the word says that salvation is a seed that you put inside of you. And you take care of it, water it, you eat it, you do it, you become a doer of the word, and it will grow. Now, I want to read in my New Living Translation, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, because there's so much clarity here that will help us. You know, for goodness sake, when I go see my doctor, I don't want him to smooth it over with peanut butter, even if it's jiffy. I want him to tell me the truth. I want to know what's going on. That's what I'm paying him for. And that's what's happening here tonight. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm trying to present the truth to you in a way that you'll say, I want that more for my life. I want more of that in my life. I want more of the greatness. I want to have more good days. So we come to 1 Peter chapter 3. And like I said, I'm going to read beginning at verse 9. And verse 9 says this. It's all connected here. It says, now here if you listen to this, you'll begin to have better days. Don't repay evil for evil. I'm going to get them back. Boy, I'm going to get them just right. Just wait, just I'm going to get them back. That is the road to destruction and weakness and sickness and depression and financial failure. Just keep doing that. You'll see what I mean. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. See, I have a problem because I've got a quick tongue. I've got a sharp tongue. And I'm not bragging about that because it hasn't helped me out. There's a lot of times I should have just let them have the last whatever insult. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. The other day, I told you that we're here. A couple of Thursdays ago, I had a divine appointment. Met up with somebody I was hoping I'd never see again, really, because it was terrible the last time we met. And God said, Angelo, you wake up every morning and you, yeah, I want to do your will. You really want to do my will? Then what I want you to do, you're about to meet this person, and I want you to humble yourself, and I want you to repent to this person, no matter what you think you did or didn't do. Because if you'll do that, you and I, Angelo, now, I get that from the Word. The Bible says we're co-laborers with the Lord. He said, you and me, son, we can restore this person. We can help this person. So I went to this person, hugged their neck, and said, hey, we haven't seen each other for some years. Is there anything that I've done that I've hurt you, insulted you, offended you? This person began to weep. And they said, you did this, this, and this. And that was not my recollection of what happened. But what I said was this. I said, I was wrong. I did wrong. I sinned. I sinned against you. When was the last time you did that? Now hear me. I sinned against you. I've got no excuse. Can you forgive me? See, because Jesus did more than that. What Jesus said to planet Earth is, I was wrong. It was my fault. I'll take the full brunt. I'll take it all. See, Jesus paid it all for us. Do you think he wants any less from us in this world? No, he doesn't. And that person just wept. I took that person in my arms, and then that person turned it on me and said, look, I did wrong at that church. I did terribly wrong. And Brother Angelo, is there anything that you want to bring up right now? Because I'll repent right now, just like you did. And I looked them in the eye. I said, no. Nothing. That was what got the volcano of tears. When was the last time you thoroughly and completely let somebody off the hook? Because when you stand praying, according to Mark chapter 11, about verse 25, 26, forgive if you have aught against any, so that your Father in heaven can forgive you. Because if you won't, it doesn't say that God cannot. It says God will not forgive you. So we're walking around and we're believers. See, that was written to believers. It was written to people that were praying. It was right in there with the great faith stuff. So my point is this here. How much will you take personally to yourself? Because I'm not going to give an altar call or have you stand up. What I'm going to have you do is examine your heart. That's a communion verse. And if there's something there that shouldn't be, Say, God, use me. I'm asking you to say that. Use me to restore people. Maybe people that I've hurt. I'll do it. I dare you to do that. Because you know what's going to happen next? You're going to be having a few divine appointments of yourself. If you want to, let's see here. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. For the scriptures say, now, this is not talking about heaven. This is talking about this life. Everybody say crummy. Everybody say good. I'm telling you, you can have a good life. You don't have to have all the things that everybody else has. You can miss a lot of them. And this is what it says. It was written to the church. Read the first few verses of the first chapter. It was written to Christians. It wasn't written to lost people. If you want to enjoy life, Christian, if you want to see many happy days, Christian, keep your tongue from speaking evil. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to start a little thing right here. I don't do this all the time. Anybody else want to say that? I don't always keep my... Raise your hand. Unless you do, because if you got that down pat, I want to work with it. I don't always do that. Sometimes I try to set people up and engage them so I can really get my point across. And Patty does that too, don't you? Patty's my buddy. She has been for a long time. If you want to enjoy life, if you want to see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Even the little white, I'm throwing up, lies. And then it says this here. Turn away from evil. See, there's all kinds of evil. You know what it is. You feel that flame, that drawing to really, and that could be, it could be your favorite sin. It's a good time to relapse. It'd be a good day to turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain peace. I don't find that easy myself. I know some of you are more peaceful than I, but for me it's not easy. And then it says this here, the eyes of the Lord watch over those that do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. Husbands and wives, a little bit earlier in this same chapter, get along with one another so that your prayers won't be hindered. Because when you're fighting with your spouse, by the way, God didn't give you the perfect spouse to be happy. He gave you the perfect spouse just for you to be holy. God will use your spouse maybe more than anybody else to get you holy. Be ye holy even as I am holy. The eyes of the Lord watch over those that do right. He's not talking about lost people. And his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against his children. I'm just putting that in there. When his children are working evil, no, you ain't going to fool me. You might fool somebody else. But Christians are capable of doing great evil. I know they are because I'm one of them. And like I say in recovery a lot, I did some of my best sinning after I got saved. I got saved when I was 19. And if you think I've lived a sinless life, let me just close that right out. No, I haven't. No, I've missed it. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I've relapsed in many different ways. But you know what? I've learned a lot of stuff. I'm not that easy. I'm not as easy to get off the track as I used to be. God will not hear, see, he doesn't destroy you. He just won't, he just many times won't hear you. He won't answer your prayers. And you're wondering why? Well, wonder wisely. Check your life out. Problems with your spouse. Speaking too many evil opinions against others. Getting the arguments. relapsing to your favorite addictions and sinful immorality. Don't hang out with evil people. The Bible says not to, that it'll cost you. Don't be a lover of money, because God will provide all that you need. Now it's time to say goodbye to all our family. Get on your knees. Repent and get over it. Let's make an altar. And if you really have no intentions, well, just fake it. If you just want to and come to the altar and examine your heart and say, God, I think I could go farther. When Brother Angelo was preaching, I think I saw something I need to get over. Confess it to him.